be reading from Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 6 through verse 10. Judges 2, verses 6 through 10. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders, and outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of inheritance in Timnathri, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and those arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, not yet the work which he had for Israel. And if you didn't get all those names, it was a bunch of labels.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always thankful for the opportunities I have. Man, really kind of speed up that weather. Better watch out. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 has a passage that I've been thinking a lot about. And in particular, we read about Joshua and these generations that are passing away. And it talks about Joshua and his generation. It says the next generation passes away. And then finally, we get to verse 10 in Judges chapter 2. And it says, when all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord, nor the work that he had done for Israel. That phrase there, did not know the Lord, that's what kind of has been dwelling with me the last few days, weeks, months. As I've kind of brought the next generation into my family, my daughter, it's kind of made me reconsider and think about the generations and how they come and go, because as I have a child, I kind of get pushed into the next phase of life, the phase of parenting and those things that come along with it. And when we think of generations, our society is interesting, like come generation, we'll name them. We have the baby boomers, and we have Generation X, the greatest generation, we have the millennials, we have all of these generations. And what I want you to consider this evening is, do you understand that you have responsibilities and obligations to the other generations? You have responsibilities and obligations to the other generations. And I want you to really consider that. You have obligations to the generation in front of you. You have obligations to the generation behind you. And you have obligations to the generation that you're in. I'd like to consider our obligations and our responsibilities to the generation that we're in. Because what I fear is what might happen if we don't fulfill those obligations, which I believe the Bible lays forth. We don't do those to the best of our ability. What would happen? And I just look at verse 10. It says, a generation arose after them who did not know the Lord. I don't want to be responsible for that. And I know that we can do the best we can and people have free choice and all that. But that idea that we need to do the best we can in relation to the generations that are around us. In fact, I think we have this chronic problem, and I think that most of us would probably agree, and I think it's a problem that's been around for a long time, is that people are not fulfilling their obligations to the generations around them. And that's why we have problems, because we won't fulfill those obligations in relation to our Christian obligations that God wants us to fulfill to the other generations. That's why many times we have so many problems. In fact, I would say we have a problem of blocking generations. See, my parents would use that word from time to time, particularly when it came to car wrecks, we'd go by, and they'd say, when you drive, don't gawk at the car wreck. Well, I looked up gawking, and gawking is to stare at something stupidly. I think we have a problem of gawking generations. We stare stupidly at the other generations like we have no obligations or responsibilities. We look to the generation before us, and we kind of look at them, and we say, do I have any obligations to them? Do I have any responsibilities to them? Yes, you do! But when you look around our society, it looks like a lot of people are throwing their responsibilities and obligations to the side. Then we look down to the younger generation, they just stare at them, and they look at them, and then they maybe have questions in their mind, but I think they just stare at them, and they never fulfill their obligations and responsibilities. Do we have a problem with gawking generations? That we're just staring stupidly at the other generations, but not trying to fulfill our obligations or responsibilities to them? Well, what are those obligations and responsibilities? Well, I think the Bible is very clear about what some of these are. I think one of the obligations and responsibilities we have to the other generations around us, to the generation that we're in, is to care for the generations around us. You know, I think about this and I look in our society and how this has been deteriorated. And like I said, it's not a problem limited to the United States. I think it's been a problem throughout time. But I think as we turn away from Christian principles, values, and ideas, we see it all the more. This idea that, you know what, my obligation, my responsibilities to the youth, my responsibilities, obligations to my children, you know what, I think I can walk away from those. And what do we see in our society? There are many people that are walking away from their obligations to their children. Not only that, but we see it in the other case. We see individuals who have been raised by their parents, and when their parents enter that transition of old age as they're about to depart from this earth, they've got to cast their responsibilities, obligations of taking care of their parents onto others. And not look to themselves and say, you know what, I have a responsibility. I have an obligation to the generations around me. What's your responsibility and obligation? To take care of them. You know, that idea of respect and caring, I think something that has somewhat been lost. But it's a vital idea that's reinforced, this idea that we should have respect and care for the generations around us, for the youth, for the generation we're in, and the generation that's going before us. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, it says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." This idea of honoring those who have gone before us, taking care of them. But you know what? When we look at our society, that's not necessarily what I see. It certainly seems like it's a decline. And like I said, I think it's been a problem throughout time that people do not want to fulfill their obligations to the other generations. They don't want to fulfill their obligations to the generation going before them. They don't want to fulfill the obligations to the generation coming behind them. They don't want to fulfill the obligations and responsibility to the generation they're in. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, it says, "There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." What words there? There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. What a generation. Are we part of such a generation? Are we raising such a generation? Do we understand that the Bible does not want us to leave the other generations out to the cold? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 14, it says, "There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." The needy and the poor. And you know what? Those people fit into all various categories. This has been a problem throughout time that people take advantage of those that need the most help, those people that need to be taken care of, particularly I think to the youth and those that are older, but certainly you can all use a helping hand from time to time. But people don't like fulfilling those obligations and responsibilities. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14, it says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, and for a persistent makes long prayers, therefore you receive great condemnation." It says you're a hypocrite. It says you're devouring the widow's home. You're not fulfilling your obligations to them. See, the older generation is valuable, but I think the same principle applies to the younger generation, that we have obligations and responsibilities that we need to fulfill. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, I think we see an idea of this idea of trying to shift responsibilities. In Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, it says, "And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you keep your tradition. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might receive from me is korban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother." What were the Jews doing here? They were actually saying, you know what, mom and dad? I would love to take care of you, but you know, all my money is going to God. They say, Mom and Dad, I like St. Peggy, but I'm giving all my money to God. This is a tradition that they made up. As I tried to study it and research it, this Corban, what they tried to do is they said, you know what? I'm giving so much to God that I don't have anything for you, Mom and Dad. I don't have anything for you because I'm giving it all to God. And what were they doing? The Jews were giving a gift, thinking that they could free themselves from their obligation to their parents. Do you have an obligation to your parents? Do you have an obligation to the older generation that went before you to take care of them? Do you have obligations and responsibilities? Because you know what our society will say, and what they are saying time and time again? No! You don't have obligations to them. You're fair at them, and you don't have to take care of them, and you don't have to worry about them. That's what our generation is trying to push towards us. You don't have any obligations. You don't have to take care of them. That's not what Jesus wanted. That's not what Jesus wanted. See, it's so sad that many times when people go throughout their lives, they try to choose to obey God here, but not here. We're trying to obey God in all respects. And one of those respects is caring for the generations that are around us. Understand that people fall into all kinds of different situations in life. But I'm starting to see this with the older generation, is that people are not fulfilling their responsibilities and obligations to the older generation. And you know the type of things that I'm probably talking about. The type of things that I'm referencing. When people have the ability to take care of those that have taken care of them, but yet they say no. You know, I think Jesus sent such a strong message in John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, where do we find Jesus? We find him on the cross. One of the last things that he does, what does he do? He says, take care of my mother. Do you have an obligation to the older generation? Do you have responsibilities and obligations that you need to fulfill to take care of those who have went before you? I think we do. And I think it falls under just the general heading of loving. But are we fulfilling those obligations? Do we care for the elderly? But see, it extends beyond that. It's not just the elderly. Do we care for our family? Do we care for the generations to come? Because what happens is when we start to devalue one group of people, we start devaluing them all. We start saying all the older generations are not important, you know, they're no value to society, they're just leeches, they're not worthwhile. Well, once you start devaluing someone that's older, their life, you know what we start to do? We start to go to the other side of the spectrum. And our country's already done this. What do we do with the youth? Well, we do all kinds of things, but you know one thing they do? They don't even give the youth a chance to get out of mom's womb. We devalue life on both sides of the spectrum. We say we have no obligation to the old people. We have no obligation to the young people in mom's womb. But we do, don't we? We have obligations to the generations that are around us. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, I think there's a strong message sent to the church about this idea of taking care of those that are around us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayer night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60-year-old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. And it continues on so on and so forth. But there's an idea here that I think is very strong, a message sent out to the church. Take care of individuals. And that little saying that it talks about the widow, it says if the widow has children or grandchildren, what should they do? Take care of her. Is that what we see done in our culture today? See, our society is sending these messages, and sometimes they're not direct, and sometimes they're trying to mask it in all kinds of ways, but there's this devaluing of the generations around us. You don't have to worry about that other generation. You don't have to take care of that other generation. You don't need to watch out for that other generation. Just leave them alone. They'll take care of themselves. That's not a Christian idea. It's not an idea that we find in the Bible. The idea is take care of those. Christians should not be people that are pawning their family off on society, pawning their family off on the government, pawning their family off on the church. We have an obligation and responsibility, and that obligation and responsibility does not include staring stupidly at them and doing nothing. And yet our society turns more and more to that direction. We see all kinds of things in our society where it seems this respect is decreased between the generations. The respect for children, for parents, children for grandparents, parents for grandparents, the lack of respect. Just because our society is deteriorating doesn't mean that Christians deteriorate. We still have to follow the words of God and try to follow those things which God has laid forth for us. You see all these crazy things in our society where kids are pawned off on the grandparents so the kids can go off and run and have a wild lifestyle. How many kids do we know that are being raised by their grandparents? Those people aren't fulfilling their obligations to the next generation. Are we fulfilling our obligations to the next generation? Because it's so easy to point the finger and say, hey, they're not taking care of these people. They are taking care of these people. But can we look at ourselves and say, are we taking care of the generations? Are we taking care of the individuals that we can take care of? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, it says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. If we have the ability to labor and to help those that are around us, we definitely should. What's unfortunate in our society is we see so many people that need help, and those people that need help so much are taking advantage of them. The people that need help the most are the ones that are taken advantage of. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long among the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And I think that's the idea that we see translated in the New Testament. Honor your father and your mother. Is that something that we're doing? Is that something that we've forgotten? Have we got caught up in our society in the gawking generations where they just look, but they don't take any action? Are we taking care of the generations that are around us? Number one, I think one of our obligations and responsibilities is to take care of the generations. Not just the older generation, but the younger generation and the generation that we're in. Number two, I think we have an obligation and responsibility to teach other generations. To teach other generations. You know, I think of it this way. What generation are you guiding today? I'm not talking about necessarily you guided the baby boomer generation, or you're guiding the millennial generation. I'm talking about in your life, who are you impacting in terms of your own family and the people that you and your circle, what generation are you guiding? What generation are you teaching? What generation are you raising? What generation are you parenting? What generation are you grandparenting? I like what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, it says, now this is the command, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, and that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, these are things that you need to teach when you cross over to possess the land. He says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as on the portlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. All this is instructed to them to teach. To teach them what? To teach them about God, the commandments, and the statutes. And what I like is in verse 2, it says, who do you need to teach them to? It says your sons
and your grandsons. This idea of teaching the generations to come, the generations that are growing up, says teach them diligently. Teach them diligently to the next generation. Verse 7, it says, to your children. It says, talk to them basically at all times. It says, when you sit at the house, when you walk on the way, when you rise up, when you lay down. All of these times are teaching opportunities. How are we taking advantage of them? But see, in the next few verses, it tells why we should do this, why we should teach the next generation. In verses 12 and 13, it says, then beware, lest you forget the Lord. Beware, lest you forget the Lord. Well, why is it important that we teach? Why is that an important responsibility or obligation that we have the next generation? Because if we don't, they will forget. They will forget. You know, I think we live in a society where we can see responsibilities are shifted every which way. And I'm afraid that a lot of individuals are trying to shift their teaching responsibility onto the next generation. Oh, you guys can teach them. You guys can teach them. You know, I've done my part. Or we all have an obligation to teach. Teach the next generation. But there's a lot of shifting of responsibilities. And I think people try to mask this and they try to comfort themselves in so many ways. And I think sometimes they try to comfort themselves in such ways that they can feel good about what they've done. But we all have an individual responsibility to teach. We all have an individual responsibility to care for the generations around us. But are you trying to shift those responsibilities to other individuals? There's so many things in our society, but there's a lot of shifting of responsibility. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, it says, so likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. You understand that you have a duty, you have an obligation, you have a responsibility to these other generations that are around us. But our society doesn't like that word, does it? It doesn't like that word duty. It doesn't like that word responsibility. It doesn't like the word obligation. Those are hated words in our society. Hated ideas, and we can see it manifest in the way that people treat and handle the generations that are around them. We can see it in the way they handle the older generation. We can see it in the way they handle the generation that they're living in, and we can see it in the way they handle the generation that is coming up. Are you teaching the next generation? Of course, all our actions are driven out of the foundation of love. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And then the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Do we love enough to care for the generations that are around us? Do we love enough to teach the generations that are around us? You know, I'm glad that Lois and Eunice did not shift their responsibilities. I'm glad they didn't shift their obligations. I'm glad that they decided to do what they needed to do with Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us about these couple ladies. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded it is in you also. Question, how is this faith in Timothy? Well, we know in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith can only be obtained one way. Even though our society and people around us want to say all different things, the Bible tells us how faith is obtained. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How is the faith transferred to Timothy? By the Word of God. There's no other way that faith could be attained. He says, I know this faith was in your grandmother and in your mother, and I'm persuaded it's in you also. How did it get there? Because they taught. Through words. Through imparting the words of God, Timothy obtained the faith by listening to the words of God and acting in an appropriate manner. I'm glad that Lois and Eunice shift their responsibilities. And what I like is Lois doesn't appear to be out of picture. She's grandmother. And it appears she's still teaching. And we see mother. And she's still teaching. Are we teaching in our lives? See, I'm a public school teacher, but I have this philosophy, and it's going to be hard for me to get it out because I think it's a Bible idea. It's my job to teach my children. It's my job to teach my children. Particularly when it comes to spiritual things. It's no one else's obligation. It's my obligation as a parent to look at the coming generation and say, that's my job, that's my obligation, that's my responsibility to teach. So we understand our obligations and responsibilities to the next generation. To the generations all around us. Because certainly, you know what, there's some people above me that are in the generation before me that need some teaching. There's some people in the generation that I am in that need some teaching. And there's some people in the generation behind me that need some teaching.
We have an obligation to teach the generation. I'm so glad that Lois and Eunice didn't shift their responsibility like so many individuals try to do, and they taught Timothy. Number three, obligation that we have to generations that are around us is to be an example.
To be an example. Whatever generation you're in, you can always be an example, and people are always watching us to see what we'll do and how we'll act. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, it says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house."
Are we the examples that we should be? Because as our society turns away from Christian values, ideas, if we're going to shine all the brighter. You know, the people that keep obligations and responsibilities to the generations, they're going to be noticed. Because no one else is going to. Will you keep the obligations and responsibilities to the generations around you? There's so many things that are going on in our society. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. It says, Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. It seems like everyone feels like they're going the right direction. It reminds me of Judges chapter 17, verse 6. It says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And you know what? Our society is saying what the right thing is to do. Don't worry about the generation. You can just look at them. You don't have to care for them. You don't have to teach them. You don't have to be a good example to them. Just let them pass away. Just let them move on. It's not a big deal. In Titus chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, it says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in work they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." So important to be an example. And a lot of times I think that this is just attributed to the older generation. It's like, okay, older generation, you need to be a good example to everybody else. And I understand that. But I think sometimes we leave out the youth. The youth need to be a good example as well. If you're a good example in your youth, it can make such a huge impact for those that are around you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, I think that was the message that was trying to be imparted to Timothy. It says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity." What was he instructed to do? Be an example to those, Timothy. When people look at you, they're going to be looking at your actions and all the things that you're doing. Be an example. And you know what? As I traveled around at 18, there was not too many people my age that were traveling around, but there's a couple other individuals, and I would always try to call them and talk to them just because you're going through similar things and similar challenges and whatnot. But one young preacher, he told me this story one time, that when he left this congregation, an old man pulled him aside and he said, "You are such an encouragement to me. You are such an encouragement to me." Well, why was that? He was living a Christian life. He was setting a good example. And you know what? I found throughout my life, it's always encouraging to find a good Christian example. When I traveled around, a lot of times, the congregation I went to were not very big, maybe 10 people, sometimes even less. But I was encouraged by those saints that met there. I was encouraged. Why? Because they were living the Christian life. Isn't it always encouraging to meet a Christian and someone that's living the Christian life? It's encouraging. The generations encourage each other. The older generation is encouraged when they see younger people come up, following the ways of God. Parents are encouraged when they look down at the younger generation and they see people following the words of God. But it works the other way. As the younger look to the parents, they're encouraged to see that people are trying to live the same lives they are. And that the older generation are trying to live the same lives they are. You've got to be careful throughout this life because we can certainly impact people just through our example. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "That you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." Isn't that the truth? That we will shine as lights in the world in a perverse generation. It doesn't matter what generation we're raised up in. If we're an example, we can make an impact in those people's lives that are around us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that
you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Yet we have obligations to the generations that are around us. And that's something we can't lose sight of. We can't be part of the gossiping generation. The generation that just looks and says, you know what, I see that they need help, but I'm not going to help them. You know, I see that there needs to be some teaching here, but I'm not going to teach. I see that I probably should be a better example here, but I'm not. You have obligations and responsibilities for the generations around you. Will you fulfill those to the best of your ability? Certainly we all fall short and we're not perfect, but certainly we can be better each and every day as we try to serve those that are around us. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian tonight. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. You've wandered off the straight and narrow path and you need to come back. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.